Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing not only last night's Monday Night Raw, but also our thoughts on AEW's All Out pay-per-view at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We're going to start out, folks, with the AEW pay-per-view. And look, I don't care if you're a huge AEW supporter or you're one of their detractors. This was an excellent pay-per-view, pretty much start to finish. And you really can't complain about too much. All the matches were good. They were they predictable? Yes, we hit every single one of them. If you listen to our pre-show on that, we hit every single match. So yeah, they were a bit predictable, but they were still very well booked. They were very well executed. They're exciting. And of course, the big news, we got the debut of not only Ruby Soho, not only Adam Cole, but Daniel Bryan as well on the pay-per-view. Now, Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan didn't wrestle. Ruby Soho did. But nonetheless, these are huge additions to AEW. And this stole most of the thunder away from anything that WWE was going to do on Monday Night Raw, certainly. And we've just learned that WWE had made the offer to Adam Cole that they wanted him to be a manager on SmackDown. That was their pitch to keep Adam Cole, to virtually not even let him wrestle much, but to be a heel manager on SmackDown. So really effectively what they were doing, in my opinion, is they were telling Adam Cole, we don't really want you. We're going to make an effort to make it look like we want you. We're going to make an effort so that the fans say, well, they made some sort of a big pitch. They brought him to SmackDown and they let him talk to Vince McMahon personally and they did make a big pitch for him. Not true. Adam Cole was told your Twitch account will have to go, which to be honest, let me just state this. If playing video games and talking to some fans is more important than your career, then you don't deserve to be in the wrestling business. So I don't care about the Twitch channel. But if you're going to tell me you're going to sit Adam Cole down and tell him in this stage of his career, I think we're going to make you a manager and limit your in-ring work. You knew he was walking. You absolutely knew that was going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. As a matter of fact, it was basically like saying, we don't want you, but we're going to put up a good front to make it look like we want you. That way we can say, well, we brought him here and we tried and he just chose to go to AEW. Nah, you kind of, it was almost making fun of him. You knew when you brought him there and set him down and said, we're not going to have you wrestle. We're going to have you be a manager. He was going to say, hey, I'm not doing that. So Adam Cole makes his debut. Daniel Bryanson makes his debut. And listen, Bryan Danielson can't get it straight. Anyway, they didn't wrestle. Do I think they should have saved those debuts? Yes. But there is another school of thought, and that school of thought is they didn't wrestle, and people are going to tune in to see what happens with them Wednesday. So, you could take it either way. I personally would have waited and had fans tune in for that debut and made that debut more special than just have everybody debut on one pay-per-view. But I get their logic. Their logic is now, well, people will tune in to see, are they going to have a match this week? What's going to happen this week? And I get that. So, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. AEW chose which one they wanted to do, and they wanted to make this pay-per-view extremely special. It was extremely special. It was a great pay-per-view. Having said that, I know a lot of people laugh when you say they might be getting a few too many people and some people are going to get lost in the shuffle. And you get the internet trolls saying, ha, 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 stupid. No, it's not stupid. Was Malakai Black on the pay-per-view? Did he have a match? He had a little segment where he talked. Did he have a match? No. Oh, wait, I thought he was a big acquisition. I thought he was your big, oh, my God, they got Aleister Black. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a meteoric rise to fame. Where was his match on the pay-per-view? It wasn't there. I'll tell you why it wasn't there. He didn't have room for him. So before you go too crazy, remember that for every person they bring in, somebody loses a match. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. And if you don't know that, then you don't know the wrestling business, because that's it. What do you think they're talking about when they say you took my spot? What do they think that you mean by that? So I do caution fans to be careful. Do I think Adam Cole is going to get a spot taken? No, probably not. Do I think Daniel Bryan will get a spot taken? No, probably not. You know, again, I think Daniel Bryan was the biggest acquisition they've got thus far, because he is definitely going to help young talent. But yes, I do think that there are going to be people who are not going to have matches on television or in major pay-per-views because they want to feature these people, and rightfully so. They're paying them big money. They want to feature them. Now, the people who said, you know, CM Punk's going to do the right thing. He's going to drop to Darby Allin, and he's just going to say, well, you know, it has been 7 years, and Darby Allin's an amazing talent, and I respect him. Or yeah, I knew that wasn't going to happen. CM Punk did not show up here to lose to anybody. And for Tony Khan to say he does not have creative control is a flat-out lie. Because CM Punk has stated many times he wouldn't even sign with a wrestling federation unless he had complete control, creative control over his character, so that is not true. Having said that, though, I think it was a great pay-per-view. Pretty much start to finish. You know, CM Punk's match wasn't one of my favorite matches. I think he showed a lot of ring rust, actually, but I've heard a lot of people say they liked the match very much. Again, we nailed every match. I don't think any of us got any of them wrong. We even nailed the mystery Joker as Ruby Soho, and that she would win if she was in it, and she won. That's going to make a big difference. And I hear Sarah Logan was backstage. Now, Sarah Logan backstage could be just to root on her friend, and that's fine, because she's had a child recently and everything. But you know what? You're making inroads, right? Just in case you want to return to the business. And if that's the case, there's another person who could absolutely help this division. So all in all, the pay-per-view was, in my opinion, an A pay-per-view. I don't think you can even give it a B. With everything that happened, with most of the matches, if not all the matches, being very solid, I don't think you can give it less than an A. Mike, what was your thoughts on All Out?
Man, I tell you what. You're right. You cannot give it anything less than an A. I mean, logic was there. Well, what have we said about a lot of what the WWE has done lately, within the last several years? Not very logical, right? Well, you can't say that about this pay-per-view. This pay-per-view was logic. This pay-per-view had some great spots in it. This pay-per-view, even though I didn't like the fact that he didn't drop, it was a great match between these two guys. The two women's matches, the women's matches were pretty good. Just on the whole, it's an A match, you know. Even the Jericho thing came out the way we thought it was going to come out, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I didn't expect CM Punk to drop, nor would I thought it was a good move. If you said to me you have to book that match, then CM Punk's got to win. Of course he's got to win. But I think more should have came out of it. I think CM Punk should have won but turned heel. That's what I would have done. as I said. They wanted to keep him a face for a while. I guess I understand that. Todd, I thought this was a pretty close to perfect pay-per-view.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with everything in that pay-per-view was a great match. I like all of them except for the CM Punk match. You're right. He looked a little rusty in the ring. He's been out of the ring for 6 or 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and I know some people said, well, it was part of the how they booked the match. He purposely wanted to look ring rusty. Okay, well, that's lousy booking then. You don't look like you're ring rusty. That's not a good way to present yourself. But other than that, I mean, listen, and even that, how can you really down that match? You can't really down it. It was still a good match. It's just, of course he's going to have a little ring rust. Of course it's not going to be perfect. And, give it time. Let him fall back into it. He's not 30. And he spent a lot of time out of the wrestling ring. Aside from that, I thought everything was fantastic. Everything happened pretty much the way we thought it was going to happen. But at the end of the day, the only match that I said, was this necessary, was probably the Big Show's match. I don't know why that was necessary. Are you going to tell me that the Big Show fighting QT Marshall would be more important than having a Malakai Black match against someone? See, that's what I worry about. That's the only thing I worry about with AEW. So, yeah, I think we're all in agreement that this was a really, really strong pay-per-view. Listen, I don't care if you're not an AEW fan. I don't care if you're a WWE fanboy. That's fine. But you got to acknowledge that this federation is moving quick. And if the WWE continues their lackluster nonsense, they could be in trouble. They could be in trouble. And I'm going to tell you why I think that. Because I think that Tony Khan, who I have a personal, I just don't like Tony Khan. I don't like him. I think he's full of crap. And Tony Khan is one of these guys who is going to say, oh, we're going to be so inclusive and we're going to be so careful what we show and we're going to make sure we don't offend anyone and we're going to take care of all of our workers and kumbaya, we're all going to sing and dance and laugh in the locker room. If Tony Khan gets to the point where he can overtake the WWE by throwing all those principles out the window, he'll throw all those principles out the window. Because at the end of the day, he's a businessman and he wants to win. So Vince better take that serious. You see, I don't think Vince took it serious because he said, well, if he's going to put all these handcuffs on himself, we won't do this and we won't do that and we'll bow down to woke culture and we'll bow down to this and that. He's never going to overtake me because fans are not going to respect that. And after a while, they're going to say, oh, this is dumb, man, if you're going to keep doing that. He is not going to keep doing it. If he smells blood in the water, he'll do whatever it takes. Trust me. So Vince should take AEW very seriously. Because for Tony Khan's, I'm just a big fan and I just want to do something that is going to be all-inclusive and wonderful. Behind the scenes, he is like his dad. He is a cutthroat businessman. He wants to be the top guy. He wants to bring in that big money. And he'll do what he needs to do. Trust me. Anyway, let's go on to Monday Night Raw. Because this was a little bit interesting, a little more interesting, let's say, than the last few Monday Night Raws for a couple of reasons. We start out with, of course, the RK-Bro, because this is really the hottest thing that WWE has going. And it's the only reason that Matt Riddle is not dropping matches. Because after Matt Riddle mouthing off about Roman Reigns and stuff, I hear that he's got heat even with other wrestlers. But they're not going to do anything because this thing is working. And it's one of the few things that's working. And we then get the announcement that what we're going to have is a tag team gauntlet match. And that's going to decide who is going to get a shot at the title next week. And virtually every team you can think of is in it. You know, the New Day is in it. Retribution is in it. The Lucha House Party is in it. Everyone, AJ Styles and Almos is in it. Mansoor, Ali. But then out comes Bobby Lashley and MVP. And this makes absolutely no sense. And says, oh, we want to be in it. Well, you've lost. I have no idea why. There is no logic behind you saying we want to be in a match that you lost last week. You had your opportunity and you lost. Why in the world would anyone grant you a second chance at that opportunity? That's why this fails from the beginning, because the premise makes no sense. But then we see why, don't we? Because Bobby Lashley and Randy Orton get into that, well, I want a title shot. Or actually, Lashley wants to challenge him. And Orton says, fine, let's do it tonight. Put the belt on the line. And then it's, oh, no, it's going to be at Extreme Rules. Well, the minute that happened, I said, well, you know MVP and Bobby Lashley are winning. You already know MVP and Bobby Lashley are winning this gauntlet. And the reason they're winning the gauntlet is they're going to use that tag team match next week to set up the Extreme Rules match one-on-one. So all of the air is taken completely out of the main event, because I already know the winner. I already know next week what's going to happen. I already know way in advance. You may as well just fast forward. And that's a damn shame. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you knew what was going to happen in the AEW pay-per-view, too. You said so. Yeah, but knowing the winner and the loser is not the same thing as knowing the whole plot line going forward. Now we know the whole plot line. They're not going to win the belts, because it's going to boil down to Bobby Lashley and Randy Orton. Randy Orton is going to be a placeholder for that contender, because they don't have any contenders. So he's going to hold that position until they go to Saudi Arabia. It's just, it's so obvious. So you kind of ruined you kind of ruined Raw as far as the main event is concerned. I'm not saying the gauntlet match, which we'll get to in a moment, it wasn't a good match. I'm just saying, Mike, that the minute that was announced, I said, okay, well, then we know who's winning the gauntlet match. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Right, right, and that's the thing. And I mean, people might say, "Well, you predicted Ruby Soho, you know, being the winner and going after the championship." Well, yeah, but that's not the same thing, because, you know, I mean, it's not really the same thing. So, I mean, it's predictable. And look, and it kind of take the piss out of what actually happened in the actual matches.
No question about it, because you already know the outcome is inevitable. You know, when the New Day is struggling, you know, we'll get to it in a minute, but we already know they're not winning. We already know what's going on. It's frustrating that they do this, Todd, but they do this quite often.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jeff. You said they do this thing all really often. You know, it's really frustrating and aggravating to us wrestling fans.
Now, what really gets me is this. They have Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. The winner is going to get a shot at Damian Priest at Extreme Rules. And I really said to myself, well, it can't be Sheamus. I mean, it just can't be. It's got to be Drew, because Drew lost to Damian Priest last week. And they're going to say, well, that was in the three-way where, you know, he was distracted. He hasn't beaten him one-on-one. He's beaten Sheamus one-on-one. And we can build up a big thing between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. Nope. Drew McIntyre loses. And loses clean to Sheamus. Drew McIntyre is gone from Raw. That I can promise you. As soon as the draft comes up, which is very soon, they're just treading water with Drew McIntyre. He is heading for SmackDown. That's why he's dropping all these matches. He is heading for SmackDown. There is absolutely no other reason to have Drew McIntyre lose this match, because it would have been a better match if it was Drew McIntyre, just because we haven't seen that one-on-one. But on top of that, if you wanted to give Sheamus another shot, all you had to do is say, well, Sheamus was the champion. Of course he's getting a rematch. You didn't have to have Drew McIntyre do the job for him. So therefore, we know Drew McIntyre's gone. Drew McIntyre's heading to SmackDown, quite obviously, and we're getting a rematch, which, once again, does anyone think that Sheamus is regaining that title? No. Okay, so now we have two events which we know the outcome of. There's no way on earth Randy Orton is beating Bobby Lashley, and there's no way on earth Sheamus is beating Damian Priest. So once again, Mike, we're stuck with these things where we're sort of either seeing rematches of things we've already seen or outcomes that are very easily determined.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, you know, if you think, I mean, we know where Drew, we've been speculating that Drew is headed to SmackDown anyway. So, I mean, not that I want to see Drew lose, but generally speaking, when you're heading to a different brand or you're heading out of the Federation altogether, what do they do with you?
Yeah, no doubt. That's how I know that he's definitely gone. There's no way that they would be undermining Drew to this point if he was going to stay. Absolutely no way. So let's see. We then get Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash. Now, here's the deal. Just because RK-Bro is two mismatched people whose personalities clash and the fans like them, the WWE has said, let's make all of our tag teams that way. So now we get Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, and I guess they're going to be a tag team. And the gimmick is supposed to be that Rhea Ripley is sort of the stoic, brutal one who doesn't have a big sense of humor, and Nikki Ash is the unserious one who's childlike and try. It's just, it's ridiculous. You're doing the same. You got three tag teams like this on Raw now, because you're doing kind of the same thing with Mansoor and Ali. You just, it's ridiculous. Talk about repetitive. Let's get a tag teams who really their personalities clash. One was successful, so two will be successful, or three, or four, or seven. Knock it off. You have no creativity whatsoever. This is it. That's irritating. And of course, it's a contenders match. So what do we say? Oh, well, there are no other contenders for Tamina Snuka and Natty. So of course, Nikki Ash is going to win and Rhea Ripley's going to win. Of course they are. As God as my witness, I watched this match while I was multitasking, doing some writing. Because I already knew what was going to happen. It's a moot point. There's not even a reason to watch the match. I look up at the TV every once in a while and say, okay, yeah, this is happening. That's happening. This is a waste of both Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, by the way. And it's just more of the same nonsense. They're probably going to win the belts because Tamina and Natty have no charisma whatsoever, none, zero. And what's that going to lead to? I just, honestly, this might be the worst women's division in professional wrestling. Now, when I say that, I don't mean talent-wise. I don't mean talent-wise at all. You got a ton of talent there. But man, you don't know what the hell to do with any of them. Todd, there was absolutely no doubt that Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley was going to win this. Who else would be a contender?
Nobody else, actually. You know, there's nobody else that's going to be contenders. You can't find anybody else, actually.
Because there isn't anybody. They're all tied up with something else, Mike. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It really is. Think about it. I'm looking down the list of the tag teams in AEW. You know, you may not like the Young Bucks, but okay, fine. They've been around. The Acclaim, the Hybrids, too. FTR, SoCal Uncensored, which is broken up now, but they can easily get back. Proud and Powerful, so on and so forth. You know, and it's like every single one of these tag teams is a contender for that championship. We can't say that with the WWE on Raw, you know.
No.
You look at the tag teams, I mean, yeah, they're trying to make something out of the Viking Raiders. But, again, you know, and then, of course, what can you say about the female tag team? And you're right, this women's division. We once thought that, you know, talent-wise, the AEW women's division was probably the worst in wrestling. But again, if they keep getting people like Ruby Soho and like possibly with Sarah Logan, you know, if they keep getting those,
yeah, and it's not even the talent, Mike. They got the talent. I mean, they got Charlotte Flair. They've got Shayna Baszler. They've got Alexa Bliss. They've got Nikki Cross. They've got a lot of talented people. A lot of them. They can't use them. They don't know how to use them. Piper Niven is very talented. They're not going to use her. You get Piper Niven saying, I want a rematch. There wasn't even a match, Piper. There's no such thing as a rematch if you didn't have an initial match. Who wrote that? Anyway, the tag team gauntlet match, look, it would go off to a really great start. Even though the Viking Raiders got a one-week push, right? We're invincible, and now all of a sudden the New Day can beat them, no problem. But I want to tell you this, and maybe you're all going to call me crazy, but when Retribution came down to that ring, I said to myself, I think you're wasting Dio Madden. I don't care if he's a great wrestler or not. I started to think about 10, 12 years ago or more. Those guys individually would have been like top contenders, you know? They would have been somebody that was going against the very top, if not for the title. Monstrous looking guys, good physiques, brutal looking. And I said, isn't this what Vince wants? Isn't this what Vince wants? Take him out of the damn tag team then. Give him a manager and let him wrestle individually. Give him someone to talk for them and let them wrestle individually. I honestly think Mace could be big. Dijakovic is better when he takes the makeup off and he's just Dominic Dijakovic, but not Dio Madden. Dio Madden's look, the way he wrestles, even his interviews, he's very, very good at this character, and this would have been someone I could see going against a title holder 10, 12 years ago. Now they're just jabroning out into a tag team. He's actually as big or bigger than Karrion Kross. And you're making Karrion Kross out, oh, he's a monster. Well, he's not that big of a monster. I believe Dijakovic and Dio Madden are bigger than him, Mike. So I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, Dijakovic. I mean, remember the matches Dijakovic and Keith Lee had?
Yes.
In NXT. You know.
Yep.
They can both go, and you know they didn't really do anything before with Dio Madden. I mean, yeah, he had a few good things happen. But they didn't really use him in NXT when he was down. And they didn't even use him in WWE. So it's almost wasting talent if you're not going to use them. And again, you've said it before. This is the type of guys, 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, 6 foot five, you know, 250-pound guys that Vince says he wants, right?
That's what he says, and I'm looking at T-Bar and Mason saying, well, what are you waiting for? Break up the tag team if you don't think they're going to amount to anything as a tag team and make them solo guys. You could always use the excuse, these two guys, while they may be friends or partners in crime, they don't gel. They have different styles. They're not great as a tag team. Individually, they're awesome. You could make that argument. and you can rehab them that way. Anyway, they do happen to destroy Mansoor and Ali that comes out, and they destroy the New Day to the point where we actually have to have Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville come out and say, well, we're going to stop the gauntlet match. Well, that's funny. That's the first time in history he did that. And we're going to let the teams rest. Really? That's because he didn't have a main event. And we're going to resume this later, which is pretty absurd. I do want to mention this. Jinder Mahal got pinned again. Jinder Mahal's done in the WWE. But I got to tell you that I like both Veer and Shanky. Those guys are enormous. Absolutely enormous. You can't find nothing to do with those guys. This is why you're failing. You got Karrion Kross and, oh, let's see the size of him. He's a monster. He's this, he's that. These guys tower over Karrion Kross. Look at the Viking Raiders. They're huge. These guys tower over the Viking Raiders. You can't find something to do with these guys? Come on. And Shanky's already proven he'll take punishment, man. He's ready to go. I'm sorry. You got to use these guys. You've got to find something to do with these guys. Having them be lackeys to a guy who himself is a jabron isn't really doing anything with them, WWE. And this is exactly who you say you want. Big guys that have some talent in the ring. Let's see it. Let's see it. Speaking of Karrion Kross, he's on the Moist TV, as if his image hasn't been ruined enough. And he basically says he's going to kick the hell out of Morrison. I mean, he came across okay, but this was not a spot that he should have done at all. Just not at all. And they're handling him really not well. And everyone now is making fun of the mask, which I knew they were going to. I knew they were going to. Look, Karrion Kross was dead when he lost to Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy is now chasing the 24/7 belt. I want you to understand that. So you tell me what the big storyline was. You tell me what the big deal was that Karrion Kross had to come over here and lose to a guy you had so little for in the future that he's now chasing the 24/7 belt. You did that on purpose. You bit your own hand, and then you're surprised when it bleeds. You're not going to be able to rehab this guy. No one's taking him seriously. He lost to Jeff Hardy in his debut match, and you killed him. And I don't care how much more damage he does. No one's going to take him seriously, and here's why. He's not that big. When you're in the land of Omos and Shanky and Veer and those guys, he's just not that big. Drew McIntyre is huge. He's just not. And he's not going to come across as that monster you want him to be. And it's too late to rehab him. I think they made a big mistake with Karrion Kross having him lose to Jeff Hardy. I said so at the time, Todd, and now it's coming back to bite him.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember Karrion Kross was in Impact Wrestling. His gimmick was different. No ridiculous outfit, no nothing. Just a serious guy. Now they just made him to a joke in the WWE.
Yeah, Mike, I'm telling you, every time he comes out, I just keep thinking Party City outfit. It's just terrible.
Right. I mean, we've talked about how sometimes the WWE tends to get lazy. That smacks of laziness. Usually when something like that happens, you know, you get them working hard to do it, you know, working hard, you know. That's laziness. Okay.
It is. And listen, on top of that, if that's not bad enough, John Morrison, you turned face to have a feud with The Miz, and the fans thought, oh, good. They're going to give Morrison a push now as a face. What kind of push? He's lost two times in a row now. You pushed him straight into Jabronville. So how is that a push? Every fan, when he turned against The Miz, The Miz turned against him, every fan said, that I know anyway, said, oh, the WWE's finally woke up a little. They're going to give Morrison a nice push as a face now. This should be interesting. Really? Well, how interesting is it to see him just get his ass kicked every week now? Makes no sense. No sense at all. And this is why WWE's losing the game. I want people to understand. I don't care what the ratings say. WWE's starting to lose the game. And the reason they're starting to lose the game isn't because of their talent. Yes, you're going to have AEW fanboys who say, Kenny Omega is better than anybody over there. No, he's not. Well, this guy's so much better. No, they're not. The WWE roster still blows away AEW's roster by five. It's just they can't use their talent. That's the problem. Ruby Riott was dropping 3-minute matches to everybody. She goes over to AEW, they're giving her a standing ovation, and she's a big deal. What has changed? I thought she's a jabron. I thought she's a nobody. Now, if she stayed on the roster, you would have said Ruby Riott is nowhere near as good as any of the girls in the division over in AEW. But suddenly you're giving her a standing ovation. So you already know she's that good. You already know what she can accomplish. So stop playing that game if you're an AEW fan. You know damn well the WWE wrestlers are being handcuffed and used incorrectly. What about Aleister Black? He didn't win. He didn't beat anybody. Over there, oh, we got Aleister Black. Tremendous, because you know his talent. Buddy Murphy shows up. You're going to do the same thing because you know his talent. It's not that they're not talented. It's that the WWE refuses to use them correctly. That's where the problem is. Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax in the rematch. It was pathetic that they actually tried to recreate their shoot fight from last week. Shayna Baszler looks about as interested as being a part of this as somebody they pulled off the street. She is absolutely not enjoying her time. And if she is, then she's doing a lousy job. And it's a shame because she could have been a top heel. Instead, she's relegated to this nonsense. She costs Nia Jax the match. I guess they're going to feud. Who cares? Honest to God, who cares? Then Alexa Bliss appears on the screen, invites Charlotte to her playground. Charlotte says no, so she says, I'll come to you. And the lights go out. Next thing you know, she's in the ring. She got a huge ovation. It's very clear that anybody with a little bit of personality, the fans are going to eat up. See, that's the problem. It's not that they think Alexa Bliss is so wonderful and such a brilliant wrestler. I don't think there's a fan in that arena who would say, Alexa Bliss is far more talented when it comes to professional wrestling itself than Charlotte Flair. That's stupid. She's not. It's not even close. What she does have over Charlotte Flair is she has a gimmick and a personality that the fans like. And you see the fan reaction, right? That's what's missing, WWE. Wake the hell up. You've got to give these people, you can give a mediocre performer, and I'm not saying Alexa Bliss is mediocre, she's not, but you could give a mediocre performer a really, really strong gimmick and the fans will eat it up and they'll love them. Nobody was dancing all over Riddle. Everyone was saying he was annoying, he's this, he's that, I don't like him, he's an idiot. The minute you hit this gimmick, everybody likes it. Everybody's eating it up. Can't you understand that that's what you've got to do with everybody else? It's as plain as the nose on your face. No one thinks Alexa Bliss is technically better than Charlotte Flair. But you heard the ovation she got, and that's strictly due to personality, Mike.
Right. Think about this, WWE. What did you do with with our friend there, Mr. He was with the question mark and all that stuff and TNT. And I mean in NWA.
Damian Sandow, you know? Yeah.
Damian Sandow. You gave him crap, and because of his personality, I mean, you made him imitate the Miz, for God's sake. You know, and because of his personality, he got over. You know? Because
absolutely.
Of his personality, he got over, you know. And look, I mean, here's the deal. Why were they chanting for Ruby Soho before she even showed up, before she came out?
Yep.
Because she has, they know her, and she has a personality. I guarantee you they would do the same thing for Sarah Logan if she decided to sign with AEW.
It's very possible. Listen, the problem is this. Does Rhea Ripley have a personality? No. She's like a cardboard cutout figure. She stands there and says, I'm brutal. Yeah, I get it. You dress like a road warrior. You're from Australia. You say you're brutal. I get it. Not one thing in your personality, not one thing in the way you talk, not one thing in the way you wrestle, not one thing in the way you conduct yourself actually indicates you're that person. Now, I think Nikki Cross has personality. It's a little weird, but if at least it's something. Some people are going to like that. Some people aren't, but at least it's something. But if you go through the list, does Nia Jax have any personality? None whatsoever. Does Natty show any personality? None whatsoever. Does Tamina Snuka show any personality? None whatsoever. So what are we supposed to do here? What are we supposed to do? You're going to have to do better than this. Or AEW is going to eat your lunch eventually. Now we see Reggie and a little bit of a recap of all the things he's done with R-Truth and Tozawa, and then it's Reggie against Tozawa. Here's the thing. Reggie has personality. And he has a tremendous body control. There is no doubt about the fact that he is a very good gymnast. Those things he's doing is pretty damn amazing. Here's something else there's no doubt about. He cannot wrestle. Now, when I say he can't wrestle, I'm not talking about he's just not a good wrestler. He can't wrestle. He doesn't know any moves. So they put him in there against Tozawa, and I say, wait a minute. We may have something now. You give these guys 8-9 minutes, we might see something great. No, all we see is Reggie avoiding being hit by doing gymnastic moves, and the very first move he hits on Tozawa finishes him off because he doesn't know another move. He doesn't know another move. You can't have this. I'm sorry. I know he has personality. I know he's a great gymnast. Either teach him to wrestle immediately, and I cannot believe he couldn't pick it up quick with that kind of body control. I can't believe that he wouldn't pick that up. But either teach him to wrestle or take the damn belt off him, because this is absurd. You got a guy like Tozawa who's got to sell, I can't catch him, and then the very first movie hits me with pins me. And you want to talk about wasting talent? Do you think if Tozawa went over to AEW, that's what he'd be doing? My fans get upset with the WWE. I understand that the WWE is more about entertainment, but you can't have this because that's not entertaining. It's almost the opposite of entertaining, Todd. It's annoying to see this because you want to see a great gymnastic talent like Reggie excel at wrestling and have a great match with Tozawa where you can say, man, there's a lot of, you know, body control and a lot of talent in that ring. And then you just get this nonsense.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Reggie and everything, like you said, he needs to start training how to wrestle the right way. He just don't fit in the ring as a wrestler, to be honest.
No, well, because he doesn't know how to wrestle, Mike. It's very obvious he knows no moves.
Yeah, he knows no moves. And really, if you think about it, when he was with Carmella and the other girls, you know, he really wasn't using him near, you know, correctly, because we know he has a personality. I mean, it was being obscured by the others, you know. Now, he does have a personality. just get him in the ring, get him, you know, bring him into, I mean, I want to say take him off of TV for a little bit, but, I mean, it's almost to the point of you're going to have to do something. Obviously, he's got personality, but he doesn't have the in-ring skills, you know, to do this stuff.
Right. And when I say a lot of people say to me, well, you said you don't have to have a lot of skill. Yeah, but you have to have some. You can't just not know how to wrestle. See, that's the thing. You can't be totally devoid of any wrestling skill and do it. You don't have to be the world's greatest wrestler. You got to know some moves. You got to know how to sell. You got to know how to plot a match. You can't just do that. He's not even defending his title. He's just avoiding defending his title. That's where the problem comes. He's like Eva Marie, except he has athletic talent. He just doesn't have any wrestling talent. None. None of his matches are real matches. He had a better match with Nia Jax. So, yeah, that's got to stop. Anyway, we get the last half of the, by the way, Jeff Hardy was chasing the 24/7 belt. Isn't that wonderful? This is the guy that beat Karrion Kross. This is the guy that beat Karrion Kross. And now he's chasing the damn 24/7 belt. And remember, fans, I told you, and people crapped all over me and said, oh, they got big plans for Jeff Hardy. It's no big deal to lose to Jeff Hardy. That's not a big deal. He's a top star. Yeah, he's a top star chasing a 24/7 belt. Yet he beats Karrion Kross, who you want to push to the top. And you're telling me the WWE knows what the freak they're doing? They don't. Let me tell you something. If this was the Vince McMahon from the 80s, Tony Khan would be crying in his freaking beer. But this isn't the Vince McMahon from the 80s. I don't know what the hell happened to the WWE, but they don't have a damn clue. So a guy like Tony Khan, who's basically just a money mark, as they would call him, can stumble on with a suitcase full of money and say, I think I'll take over. And he can, because you don't know what the hell you're doing. It's unreal. You know what the old Vince McMahon would have done? The old Vince McMahon would have said, listen, we don't have a lot for Adam Cole right now, so we're going to keep you down in NXT. However, what we're going to do is guarantee you you're coming to the main roster just about the time that your girlfriend fiance's contract is up with AEW, and you make it known to her that we've got big plans for her too, and she'll be coming up here. And he would have said, I'll stay. No. Absolutely not. Aleister Black, do you honestly think that if you said, we're re-signing your wife, he would have said, oh, okay, then maybe I'll re-sign. No, you waited till he signed with AEW and then said, we'll re-sign your wife. You're mad because NXT didn't beat AEW, so you punish Karrion Kross, and then you say, oh, well, I think we might want to make him a superstar. Well, it's too bad. You blew it. You have no idea what you're doing. I am so hoping that the new NXT and everything else, we're going to see the light come on in the window, but I doubt it. Because as I watch this, I keep saying to myself, I don't think you have any idea what you're doing. Now let me get to the end of the gauntlet match, because everything we have said on this show for the past, I don't know how many years, has come to fruition in this final match. AJ Styles almost manages to beat the New Day, to everybody's surprise, because that means they have to fight MVP and Bobby Lashley, two heel teams. Did you hear the reaction when Almost and Lashley went face-to-face? Did you hear the reaction? When's the last time you heard that reaction while Ricochet was flipping around? When's the last time you heard that reaction when Humberto Carrillo was flipping around? Place went nuts. Place started chanting Bobby. Omos is over, and he's over big. Guess why he's over big? Because he's undefeated. Because you actually promoted him the right way. You put him in matches and said, my God, nobody can handle this guy. Nobody's as strong as him. He's flicking off Randy Orton. He's flicking off everybody. Even the Viking Raiders, no problem. Bam, bam. They're strong guys. Nothing. Can't budge them. And then you get Lashley, and people are like, oh, he might not be able to outpower Lashley. Lashley's a big dude. And the fans go crazy. Is it going to be a good match if they fought? No. No, it's not. Not from a technical standpoint, but the fans are going to eat it up. They're going to eat it up. And I have this very, very sneaking suspicion. Call it my wrestling Spidey sense. Not immediately, but before probably the beginning of the year, or slightly after the beginning of the year, Bobby Lashley and MVP are going to be faces. I just got that feeling. After all, it was MVP who said, we didn't know it was Goldberg's son, and you know, there was no way for us to know. True. It was MVP who kind of took a little dressing down from Bobby Lashley recently, who said, we got to get back to business as usual. No more women, no more nonsense, no more this and that. True. The fans instantaneously sided with Bobby Lashley when given a choice. And I see that this could potentially lead to maybe what we're talking about, Paul Heyman bringing in Brock Lesnar over there. It's not too late for that, you know. Paul Heyman could say, I'll solve this problem. Brock Lesnar wants a title. That's the problem, Roman. That's a big problem. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm putting him over on Raw. Then you know who the faces are and who the heels are, I guess, huh? Be very interesting. Anyway, AJ Styles gets pinned. No big deal. I mean, listen, yeah, that's the champion. If AJ goes down, he goes down, whatever. Is it a horrible match? Yes. They're not going to win because of MVP again. It's going to be the same thing, but it doesn't matter because this match has nothing to do with winning the tag team titles. It has to do with setting up Bobby Lashley and Randy Orton, and that's it. But still, that reaction, Mike, said a lot because we know Omos can't wrestle. And we know Bobby Lashley isn't the greatest wrestler in the world either. But, man, you heard reaction like you seldom hear on Monday Night Raw.
And, frankly, think about this. You're talking about matches like that. Somebody's going to have to make the motion. And it's not going to be Omos. I mean, I guess Bobby Lashley is a good enough athlete that he can make the motion, you know. But you're not going to get that. That's why this is not – Bobby Lashley is not known for making the motion. But in this particular match, if it does happen, he's going to have to be that guy.
It's going to be very slow-paced if it happens. It's got to be very slow-paced. It's just the way it's going to have to be because Almost isn't doing 10 minutes in that ring either unless you make it very slow-paced. But I could see that. I mean, I could see Bobby Lashley going in, backing him into the corner like he did, giving him some shoulder rams, almost throwing him off. Bobby Lashley sliding out, giving Almost some break, Almost hitting him, Lashley staying down for a minute. Some front face locks and things. I could see it being slow paced, but still exciting. The fans are looking for that first guy to knock Almost down. That's what they're looking for. Because they've handled him right. This should be a signal to the WWE. Is Almost your greatest wrestler? No. Why did he get that reaction then? Why? Because you built him up right. They don't have to be great, great wrestlers. You have to build them right so fans want to see something. The fans want to see almost knocked down. Now, when he gets knocked down, I don't know. I don't know what his future is. The first loss he suffers or the first whatever, that's going to hurt. Might destroy him. But for now, you got something. So what was Raw this week? Well, overall, it was better than the weeks past. The Gauntlet matches had some good stuff in it. The New Day are still very good. I laugh when people say New Day's not a good tag team. Yes, they are. If you don't think the New Day is a good tag team, you just don't know what you're talking about. They're very good. I enjoyed the fact that they played this off like it was a big deal, that even the champion wanted to get in on it. It means that they're trying to take the tag team belt seriously, I guess. They realize now their top guy, really, their top draw is tag team. Think about that for a minute. Their top draw is a tag team. So, I'm going to give it a B+. I think there was some of it that was downright awful, but there was a lot of it that wasn't too bad. And considering what it used to be the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's an improvement. I mean, it's a very weak B+. It could very easily be a B-. But at least it's there. The improvement is there. You got some fan reaction. You actually got some fan reaction this week. Some legit fan reactions. Better than it used to be. Mike, what's your rating?
You know what? I can't in good conscience give it a B+. I've got to stick with a B. You know, I mean, the fan reaction was there, but there's still enough bad in this show that it's going to take it a whole letter, not a whole letter grade, but, you know, it's going to be a B for me. And look, and then considering, look at the fan reaction at the AEW pay-per-view for everything they did.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. Orange Cassidy, Moxley, and that face-to-face between Moxley and that other Japanese wrestler.
Yeah.
You
know, now, I will say this. There's been some news that apparently CM Punk said, I don't know whether he's just trying to start a controversy. That's what he does, right? But supposedly CM Punk in an interview said, I don't get Orange Cassidy. I don't think it's good for wrestling, and I don't think I just think it's dumb. That's not a good thing to say when you've just got into this federation and you're looking to make some friends and you're looking to try to help young talent. You don't tell somebody your gimmick is dumb. But we'll see what happens. I understand where you're coming from. And I'll tell you this, Mike, when Piper Niven said we're going to have a rematch, and I thought it was tonight, that last night, I said, oh, my God, it's going to be a C- show again because I don't want to see that. But fortunately, I guess they're going to hold it out for the pay-per-view. Like, that's a pay-per-view match? Do you see what you did, WWE? There's Ruby Soho getting a standing ovation. What's Eva Marie getting? Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you. The same grade.
So we're basically getting Bs. You know, listen, it was way better than it normally was. The Gauntlet match was a good idea because your strongest draw is your tag team. RK-Bro is your strongest draw. And your next strongest draw is Bobby Lashley, and you put him in there. So you did do that. The rest of the stuff, I think you missed mostly on. I think most of it was a miss. But that was a good portion of the show. That Gauntlet match took up the first half and the last half of the show. So that's the reason I gave it a B+. And I see some promising things on the horizon. Damian Priest, they seem to be wanting to push. And at least they're going in the right direction with that. So, and it looks like we may see something out of Retribution where they're going to have some feud at least. At least it'll be something for them to do rather than to just be in nothing, just jabrons. We'll see what happens. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you Friday. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.